Yeah, welcome into the Wednesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Hope everybody's having a wonderful start to their morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, happy Wednesday morning to you. What's going on?
Not much. Nice, warm day out there, so that was kind of weird, and a lot of good sports going on. I don't have much to report.
Well, Kuharski's coming in today.
Yeah, Kuharski's coming in today, so I told him to come in early, so we'll see if he does.
Well, I feel like since you told him to come in early, he may come in late now.
Yeah, 8:20. Yeah.
Wow, it's 8:52. Kuharski's here.
Don't block the block.
See ya.
Bye.
Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Not much to report here either. Pretty chill day yesterday. Didn't really even watch too much sports. I turned on a little hoops.
Some great hoops last night. I stayed up way too late watching Duke, Kansas.
I missed. Oh, it was so good. Made some chicken and waffles for dinner.
Oh, that's good. Nice. I like that dinner.
Yeah. I missed the early game, the Kentucky-Michigan State.
Yeah, shout out to Michelle Perry. Sorry for your troubles. You'll be okay.
Turned on.
I, of course, had to talk trash to her. I was like, wow, Izzo's got his scrubs in with 3 minutes left.
Oh,
that's
embarrassing,
Michelle.
It's November, Joe. Relax.
Yeah, I got put in a college basketball group thread last night with them in November. I was like, this is good.
Yeah. They started breaking down personnel for you.
Yeah, I was like, this is good.
Turned a few minutes on of Blues and Toronto. Saw a little bit of that. Watched a few minutes of the second game. It was at Kansas Duke. And then that was about it.
But I watched part of Frozen for, I believe, the 25th consecutive day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're in that phase, man. In that phase.
There's a particular part of it that she
wants? No, she wants the whole thing. Okay. It's like, I can't sit down and watch the entire thing every day.
Yeah.
And nor do I let her. So
I had a lot of Frozen viewings myself. That thing has lasted the test of time.
I know the entire movie by heart.
My culprit there is now 15 years old. So I mean, yeah, that's a movie with some lasting power.
It is.
Has she done any Tangled? Is it Tangled?
She has not done that yet.
That's one of my favorite ones of all of those. I think Tangled is actually like pretty funny.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. So hopefully you can get some little variety there.
Well, you know, we get into some variety, and then it's like, I would like to watch Frozen.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll fire that sucker back up.
There you go.
Paul Kuharski with us in the second half of the program today. We've got a lot to get into on the Titans front with him. Looking forward to that. We will get into the college football playoff rankings, the latest on the Lane Kiffin front, and a lot more coming up later this hour as well. Joe, we begin on the Nashville Predators, and no news to this point on Andrew Burnett, which I assume means that it's status quo and we're moving ahead as normal right now. I guess that there's a chance that they could maybe make a move today, but I mean, conventional wisdom would tell me, Joe, that if Andrew Burnett didn't get fired on Monday and Andrew Burnett didn't get fired on Tuesday when they're off this entire week, it means he's probably not getting fired today. I would be surprised if that's the case. So what do you make of this? I know a lot of Predators fans kind of felt like that was going to be it on Sunday, and they've been talking about it a lot this week on social media, still talking about it, still a lot of yelling about it. What do you make of Andrew Burnett, as far as I know, still being the head coach of the Nashville Predators as of Wednesday morning?
I'm not surprised. I predicted it. And, you know, I do wonder, it's like, I mean, is it just going to be the whole year? I mean, at some point, I don't know when that point is, but if they continue to really struggle and like we get past Thanksgiving and we get into the holidays and all this stuff and nothing is happening, then I think everybody's just like, he's going to get the whole year. Would I predict that? Right? I don't know, man. Maybe Barry Trotz, like you said, beat of his own drum. So, you know, maybe he'll fire him, like, right before puck drop of the next game, man. And just say, well, move out of the way and just take the spot on the bench. I don't know.
Now Nash repels from the ceiling. Barry Trotz repelling into the bench. Andrew, move aside.
Here's your pink slip.
It's time for me to coach.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised. I think he's gonna just be more patient than conventional wisdom. He's gonna be more patient than typical NHL operating procedure is. How much more? I mean, we're just finding out, you know. The point of doing it, I hear what Vingan's saying, like, you need to show fans you're serious about it. I don't know. Again, I think fans are pretty disillusioned because they have another bad team here to watch, you know, or a losing team. You know, they're just not good enough. They're just good enough to lose a lot of close games. So I don't know if that's it. The reason you do it is to try to spark a team, right? I mean, isn't that the whole thing? So I guess at some point you give that a try, I guess. But seriously, I'm not surprised at all if this goes the whole year.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by that either. I mean, the break in the schedule has always been the thing. It's the combination of that. It's the break in the schedule, and it's the record, right? I mean, that's why you fire a coach. But, you know, having said that, like, there's nothing to stop Barry Trotz or any NHL team from firing a coach. Like, he could fire him. Like, they could get beat 7-1 by Colorado on Saturday. He could fire him Sunday. Like, there's nothing to stop it from doing that. It's always, I think it's a 20-game mark. You got a break in the schedule that you don't get a whole lot, especially this year, where you're off for 5 days in a row. It just, a lot of things added up to where if it was on the radar for the Predators to do it, now might be the best time to do it. So this tells me, Joe, that right now it's really just not on the radar for the Predators to do it. Now, how could that change? I don't know. Look, I said it yesterday when we talked about this team. It's not getting better. Like, I don't think that this is just going to magically improve as they go along here. We're over 100 games of sample size with this crew together. And I know that there have been some, you know, they've made some changes kind of around the edges, bringing people in, bringing people out. They added a couple guys on defense this summer. But by and large, it's like this main group of Forsberg and O'Reilly and Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea and Yossi and all these guys, Saros. Like, that's your main core right now as you're waiting on that next core to develop. And we're 100 and some odd games of sample size right now, and it's not going to work. So I don't have any sort of grand illusion that this is going to improve dramatically as they go along here. So at some point, does it have to happen in the middle of the season? I don't know. This is just always, to me, looking at the schedule, been the logical point where you stop. And I heard Willie talking about this the other day. You stop and you assess. This is some time to assess. And to this point, there's been no move that's been made. Now, you know, everything you said makes sense. I do think that there's a pretty angry portion of this fan base right now that's like, what are you guys doing?
Do something.
Like, why are you not firing the head coach? What does he have to do for you to fire him?
Well, yeah, that's fine. I guess I would, if you're mad because it's like because of what Vingan said, which is like, do something, show me that you get the situation. Fine. If you're mad because you think it's his fault, that's where I would probably argue with you. I mean, like, again, I'm not saying he's faultless. He's coaching the team; they're not doing well. I just, you know, he's not the primary culprit here. He is, of course, the guy, the fall guy. He's going to be at some point, right? You presume, just because that's how pro sports go, especially pro hockey. You do wonder. I do wonder, Robbie. Like, at some point, is he sitting there like, really? I'm still not fired? You know, like
wow.
Like, geez, seriously? What? You know, it's like George Costanza. Like, what does he have to do to get fired around here, George Steinbrenner? You know? I mean, like there is a certain rhythm and cadence of the NHL that, you know, it's like people just, this is how it goes. And in this league, and this is a good thing for Brunette, I think more than any other league too. It's probably the NBA and the NHL probably more than anything. I mean, retread coaches, no problem at all. You got plenty of jobs ahead of you.
John Hines on his third job.
Yeah, and it's not like he's ever done anything spectacular at all.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's just like, yep, he's been a heck. All right, I'd try this guy.
Yeah.
So Brunette will get – and that's where it's like a little different than like – I'm sitting here wondering, like, you know, when is Brian Callahan get another shot to be head coach if he gets one? Like, you know, I don't know. But in the NHL, yeah. Well, you'll get another shot.
Yeah, I mean, he'll probably, if this happens at some point this year, he's probably going to have to go be an assistant for a while.
Right.
But then he'll, you know, if he does a good job there, he'll get another look at some point. And, you know, I will admit, I thought there was a decent chance that it was going to happen this week. And the schedule part of it is probably the main reason. But, I said it earlier this week, they're 20 games in. I thought it was pretty important, even knowing the faith that Barry Trotz showed in him last offseason, and frankly the patience that I think Barry Trotz has in this that other general managers just don't have, and the perspective on that front. And you can like that, you can dislike that, that's up to you. But I know he's got it. He's got that patience. I still thought it was pretty important that if Brunette was going to keep his job, you had to get off to a pretty good start. And the fact is they've won 6 games out of their first 20. That's not a very good start. I mean, they're right there with where they, you know, record-wise, pace-wise, they're right there with where they were last year. So, I mean, it's the same thing that's out there. So
yeah.
I guess that's the part that's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, and that's the part that, like you said, for some people it's infuriating. I get it. So, at some point you'll probably get that the, whatever you want to call it, the satisfaction of Brunette being fired, and then you'll, yeah. The next coach, is it important? Sure. But also, whoever the next coach is, like, I don't – you know, again, we always do the football-hockey comparisons. You get, you know, the two pro teams in town. I think there's a big variance of, like, how things could go for the Titans based on the coaching hire. I don't really think that with the coaching hire for the Predators. It's about, like, they've got to completely revamp their roster, you know. And there's no coach, to me – that's going to make miracles out of what they have right now.
Right now, it's all about development. It's all about development right now. So, if the rest of this year goes the way I think it's going to go, like you're going to see some veterans shipped out of here, and you're going to see the keys turned over to a lot of young guys, and then it's about development at that point.
Get ready for the baby, Preds.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Andrew Brunette, to this point, still a head coach of the Nashville Predators, which I assume means he's going to coach coming up on Saturday against the Colorado Avalanche. We'll take your thoughts on that. Plus, one part of this conversation that I've heard Elliot Friedman bring up, which I do think is going to be really interesting to monitor moving forward. We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, Smashville Live returns tonight at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. Preds star players up close and personal. Tonight it's Ryan O'Reilly and Matt Wood. That's tonight at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue and only on 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025. Andrew Brunette, is he in the clear in the short term? A lot of people expected maybe a move could get made Monday or Tuesday. It did not. So they play on Saturday coming up against the Colorado Avalanche. And then, as I said yesterday, Joe, it's, I believe, 5 games in the next 8 nights after that. It's like Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday again. So a lot of hockey that will be upcoming for the Predators after this short break in the schedule here. You know, I heard Elliot Friedman last week on DVD bring this up a little bit. He talked about it again on the 32 Thoughts podcast this week. And it is something that's going to be interesting to monitor here. And that's, you know, we talk about ownership a lot in this town. You know, Bill Haslam has been around the last couple of years, and he's been pretty hands-on and involved. But now, I mean, this is the first year where he's, like, officially the guy, right? Like, he has officially taken over as the majority owner. So it's now basically his show. So what does that mean? Like, what does that mean in terms of the decisions that they're going to make? What's his style as an owner? You know, Friedman has talked about how, you know, this means a lot to Haslam. He's really invested in this. But he also wants to make sure that he's got as much information as possible before he starts coming in here and making decisions left and right. So I'm curious. You know, I know he's been around here for a while now at this point, and he's been involved. But now that he's officially taken over, what is that going to mean for this plan here? And you can put Brunette in there. You can put Trotz in there too. Like, what's that going to mean for them as they move forward. And I don't think anybody really knows right now what that's going to mean.
Yeah, it's a great question. I would caution people who would immediately draw the connection to his brother, Jimmy Haslam. I don't think they're the same. I mean, they have different personalities. And my mostly from afar perception of Bill Haslam is that I think he's going to be pretty patient and pretty level-headed, and I don't think, you know, we're going to see like all these shakeups and everything like that. You know, I think he's taking his time, like you said, to kind of see the lay of the land. But it's also, you know, I think a lot of fans would probably agree with this. You know, there's a lot of things that are contrary to pro sports about this franchise that are great. You know, the continuity, the longevity, the relationships, the really good people that have been involved in it. And I mean, you don't just throw that away. You have to respect that for sure. Also, pro sports franchises go through changes, yep. You know, and sometimes they have to go through changes, and it's better to go through changes. And that's my thing is, like, at some point, is it like, okay, it's just time for like a completely new thing with the Nashville Predators. I mean, it really has been a lot of the same people for the whole time.
Yeah.
Again, that's amazing. That's cool.
And if not the whole time, a lot of the time.
When you start losing, you know, like this, and then it's like, okay, is it time for a little bit of fresh paint on the walls?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I genuinely believe they got a lot of people over there that are really good at their job and know what they're doing. I think they've got a lot of people in their front office that are good at their jobs and know what they're doing. Now, the bottom line is they have been a franchise and been in this league since 1998. And there have been a lot of good things that they've done. They've had a lot of good teams. And for the most part, other than kind of now heading into the downturn, they have been a consistent playoff caliber team for the most part. They have been past the second round of the playoffs one time in their entire history. And we've talked about that a lot. Ultimately, is their value in being as consistent as they've been in the macro view of this? Of course. Like, you know, I think you're getting a little bit of a glimpse of it right now. If you're a Predators fan that has been calling on them to tank and rebuild for years, I mean, you're seeing right now that while they're doing that kind of unintentionally at the moment, it ain't a whole lot of fun, is it? Like, it kind of sucks, mm-hmm. Right? So, I mean, I realize that there's a difference between, you know, having as many veterans as they do and losing, and then just having a roster full of young kids and losing. Like, those are not the same things. So I understand that. But the bottom line is losing isn't fun, right? And we've heard from people who don't really have interest in going right now because they're losing. And that's the battle that you fight in the NHL that you just don't have to fight really in the NFL. I mean, you need people in the gate. You need people sitting in the building in the NHL. So it's just a different thing. So, you know, on the one hand, there's a lot that they've done that I think you should be proud of. There's a lot of things that this organization has done and continues to do that I think is good. But the bottom line is they've made a deep playoff run one time in their history, which is now approaching 30 years.
And the salary cap, 2000, what year was it?
Oh, I think it was 06 after the lockout.
So we're close. Yeah, right. That's 05, right. 04, 05 was the year we lost. Yeah. So, you know, you're talking 20, because that also to me is, I think the judgment should change once you have that in place. And
of the payroll differences between what they used to have and like the Red Wings were pretty ridiculous.
The Red Wings used to be the Yankees. My God, what a glorious time that was.
Oh, yeah, let's just go with Luke Robitaille. How about Brett Hall? Hasek, sure. Yeah, that's good. Win a cup.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. In the cup era now, we're closing in on 20 years.
Yeah.
And so, again, in 20 years, you should have more success than that. Like, you know, this league is, and there's a lot of differences between the way the NFL is so designed for parity. But there's enough there in almost 20 years of a salary cap, you should not have one advance past the second round of the playoffs.
No, I agree. And look, some of that is you just haven't risen. Like, I still believe that a couple of the best teams they had were better than the team that actually got to the Cup Final.
Yeah.
Like the team the next year was better than the team that got to the Cup Final. I think the team in 06-07 was better than the team that got to the Cup Final. Like sometimes it just plays out that way. So it's not like they haven't had some teams that could have or should have made deeper runs, but they haven't to this point. So
but they still haven't had a lot.
Yeah, like so I think when that's the case, like I think you got to do if you're Haslam, you've got to do kind of a deep audit here of, all right, how do we get there? Because, like I said, you know, there are worse situations you can be in than being a, for the most part, perennial playoff contender. But number one, I think people around here are tired of that. Like, they're ready to win. And number two, I guess that's why you play, right? Like, you play to win championships. So we had this conversation forever about Chicago. Like, Chicago went through the wilderness, right, from, like, 2017 until basically now. And I don't even know if they're out of it now. They're off to a better start. But they've been in it for a while. They had three Stanley Cups to show for it. I bet if you ask Predators fans, you'd probably take that, right? It gets a little bit different.
Well, and their wilderness also was from, like, late 90s to 2010. They were in it, too.
Yeah.
Like, no one cared. But, yeah. I mean, Matt texts us every day, so I'll read it. If Nashville can't support a rebuild, then we don't deserve the team. And so, I mean,
It's not even about that. Like, there's no danger of them losing the team or anything.
Yeah.
It's just there is a reality in this league.
There's a bottom line.
A bottom line. I mean, it's not like there's – I'm not worried about Nashville not being able to support them to the point where they're moved. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's – but, I understand what Matt's saying. I mean, this is a test of the fan base for sure. And, yeah, you know, they don't have the outrageous TV deal the NFL does to where it's just like, oh, a little extra money with the full stadium. Cool. We'll take that too, you know.
Yeah.
It's not that. But, yeah, look, I think that's where it's heading. It's just hard for me to see another scenario here moving forward that isn't at least – I mean, obviously you don't want it to be super long.
Right.
You know?
But it looks like there's some pain coming.
Yeah.
So.
So.
Hey, how long is that going to be? We'll find out.
And then how does Bill Haslam react to that? And, you know, is it – are sweeping changes
right
afoot?
615-737-1025. Our phone number, the latest college football playoff rankings are out. What does it mean for Vanderbilt and their path to the college football playoff? We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, I have news that looks like Paul Kuharski is going to be here at 7 o'clock. Did he listen to you? Have you recruited Paul Kuharski to come in early?
Well, I said I'd buy him two beers.
So, all it took.
Yeah. So I didn't tell him what kind of beers. Like, I, you know, about a couple.
Here's a PBR.
How about a couple warm cans of Busch Light?
I'm sure maybe he's turning around as we speak.
That's right. He's probably in the car. No, I'll get Woo! You whatever you want, Paul, within reason.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. The college football playoff rankings are out. The weekly television show that they put together, once again, happened last night. No big changes in the top part of this, obviously. I mean, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, still your top three. Georgia at 4 at 9-1. Alabama moves down to number 10 in the ranking. So, you know, we were talking off air yesterday. Where does Alabama go? How far does Oklahoma move up? Probably two of the most intriguing things to me. And we see it, Oklahoma at 8, Alabama at number 10, Notre Dame remaining at number 9. BYU at 11, Utah at 12, Miami at 13, Vanderbilt at 14. So Vanderbilt still at 14. What do you make of how the rankings shook out last night? And where do you think all of this that we've talked about this week with the weekend going the way it just did, Oklahoma beating Alabama, how do you think Vanderbilt is sitting right now, ranked number 14 at 8-2?
Yeah, they need help. The Oklahoma, I mean, the Oklahoma thing is, it's just tough, you know. And you know, if you want to talk about, I know you're one of your favorite people in all of sports, truly needs to be one of Vanderbilt's favorite people because Missouri, you know, going into Oklahoma, that'd be a huge one for Vanderbilt. But they need help. I mean, some of the help – I think they'll get, you know, like I just the Big Ten. There is a scenario where like the Big Ten only gets two teams in. Now that'd be crazy, but like, you know, Oregon really doesn't have wins. Oregon has, you know, I mean the win at Iowa was good. That's a good win. Last night, Hunter Yurecek, who's the new spokesman of the committee, because Mac Rhodes is taking a leave of absence from his job, you know, talked about what a great win Oregon got at Penn State, you know, for example. And it's just like, meanwhile.
Big one.
Yeah. And again, like, I don't necessarily just, like, he's like, you know, that's a talented team. That, you know, they were at that point in the season hadn't gone off the rails, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. But then he's talking about Alabama, and he's like, you know, I mean, they dropped a lot, and he's like, you know, they did had that kind of unimpressive win over South Carolina, and it's like, okay, well, I mean, that was a road win where they had to come back, and it's a talented team in a tough environment. How is that different than, like, Penn State? I mean, if you want to look at it that way and say, look, that's still a team with talent. It's on the road. You didn't play your best. You had to – they just
make stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like – let's talk about one thing this way to justify this and then talk about it totally different. Yeah. I mean, you know, you talked last night about Notre Dame-Miami. It's like, you know, their losses are better. Notre Dame's losses are better. It's like, yeah, but one of them is to Miami.
Yeah.
So that one is going to be really interesting. And that's another thing for Vanderbilt, by the way. Like we've been talking about, one in the ACC, one in the Big 12. You need BYU to lose. So they are at Cincinnati. Huge game for Vanderbilt. You know, and then but you still, even if all the other stuff works out in the other conferences, the SEC getting to six is going to be tough. I think five is a pretty strong bet. Honestly, one of the biggest things that you probably root for, and we'll see this weekend, there's some things, you know, and it's not until the last weekend, but like, can Auburn stun Alabama? Because if they can, Alabama's not going to get in. You're going to get in over Alabama. I have my doubts that they'll do that, but then again, it's on the road, man. And Auburn, as we saw coming in here, like they do have talent. They feel like they've actually found something at quarterback. That's the type of thing they need. And then the Utah thing is also just weird to me. But by the way, they just got their AD on the selection committee, so people are really excited.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I mean they had an opening. That's what happens. You put some AD on the committee, but the fact that it's a Utah AD and they're ranked where they are. I mean, Utah, just to me, should not be where they are. Their best win, they blew out Cincinnati. So, I mean, and they're talented, but their achievement, like they to me, should not be ahead of Vanderbilt. They are 12. Vanderbilt's 14. Mm. So that's another team. Yeah, you know, and then you get into like the Big 12. I mean, Utah has been bombed by Texas Tech. That's probably who they would play. I mean, that's probably a rematch if they get to the Big 12 tournament. And they lost a close one at BYU. I mean, there's no wins. I mean, they blew out Cincy and they blew out Arizona State. Arizona State didn't have its quarterback in that game. Why they would be ranked ahead of Vanderbilt right now, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's another team that you need to get out of your way.
One texter says, I think Vanderbilt needs to root for BYU losing and Alabama making it to the SEC championship game and losing. See, I think if Alabama gets the SEC title game and loses, they will get in over Vanderbilt.
I agree.
Because
they beat Vanderbilt.
It'll be an extra game that they've had to play. They beat Vanderbilt. And they also have one of the best wins this year in the country against Georgia.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, no.
I think 9-3 Alabama, if the third loss comes in the SEC title
that's
game.
That's 10-3 then.
Yeah, excuse me. 10-3 Alabama, if the third loss comes in the SEC championship game, would still get in over 10-2 Vanderbilt.
100%. 100% they would. So, yeah, you really need to. I mean, the simple, yeah, if you can get Oklahoma, again, it's like you got Missouri and you got LSU coming in. You know, both of those teams, I think, are capable. You know, on a bad day, the pressure is going to be super high in Oklahoma. They've done a great job putting themselves in this position, and then you know, but if they win out, and then if Alabama wins, and you don't get something like the Big Ten, yeah, like what could really help you is like Oregon beats USC, get them out of there. Yep. You know, Ohio State beats Michigan, get them out of there, and then Oregon loses at Washington. That's the finale.
Right.
And Washington is not a bad team. Like, that's one of those. Then, you know, you could compare a Vanderbilt and an Oregon. And, you know, I mean, again, Oregon won at Iowa. I mean, Vanderbilt right now has a ranked win. I mean, Missouri is a ranked team. And, again, if they win at Tennessee and Tennessee wins this week at Florida to entrench themselves so that that's going to be a ranked win for you, okay.
Well,
it looks a little different at the end.
The question would be, and I've heard Josh Pate talk about this, and I don't know what the answer is. If Tennessee is 20th right now. If they beat Florida, I mean, they're probably, depending on what happens in front of them, they're not moving up a ton. I mean, they're going to be right around 20. So if you then lose to Vanderbilt, are you in the top 25 at the end of that?
Right.
And how do you view that if you're the committee?
Yeah, see, but that's
because some people view it as a ranked win, and some people say, well, at the end of this, they're not ranked.
Yeah, it would – I mean, to me, that's – it's the very end. So you this just happened 3 days ago.
I'm with you.
It happened yesterday.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
the committee would, and they've talked, they've had situations like that before. So yeah, like that would be whether, again, you're dicing it up. That's a ranked win. Oh, it's not anymore. Again, that happens for sure. I mean, obviously, when Vanderbilt beat South Carolina and they beat Missouri, like all these wins that were like, wow, huge wins, you know. First time in school history with three top 50 wins. Well, now they're not. It's been weeks and weeks of them losing. It's not anymore, right? Tennessee ranked and you beat them that day and the next day, that's going to count big for you. Yes.
Clint in Clarksville asking why we're talking like it's automatically a win over Tennessee.
Oh, well, I'm not.
I think both of us have said we think Vanderbilt's going to lose to Tennessee.
Yeah. Biggest reason their percentages are low is because people don't think they're going to win Tennessee.
Well, we're talking about it because if they don't beat Tennessee, then none of this matters.
Exactly.
Like, they're not getting in the college football playoff. So we're talking about
The
only chance they've got to get in the college football playoff is to beat Kentucky and Tennessee, and then some of this other stuff has to happen.
Yes. If you've been listening, again, to me, of all the things that need to happen for Vanderbilt, I don't know if enough will happen. It's certainly possible. It's not some crazy Hail Mary. But I think the toughest thing of all of them is probably the win at Tennessee. You know, that's the piece of the puzzle that I think is hardest to get. Just based on, I know it's a different team, but based on their struggles against that offense and in Knoxville, that's, to me, the toughest one.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the college football playoff rankings. Plus, what in the world is going to happen with Lane Kiffin out there? Is he going to LSU? Is he going to Florida? Heck, some people think he's going to the NFL. Is that happening? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
That's absolutely not true. There's been no ultimatum in anything like that at all. And so I don't know where that came from, like a lot of stuff that comes out there. Like I said, man, we're having a blast. I love it here. I mean, our running back's sitting right over here. Come on over. And it just couldn't be better. Like I said, you pray for things. Our fans prayed for this type of thing, and now we're in the middle of it. So enjoy it. You're 10-1. You're getting ready. You got a bye week. You get to watch half the country lose, and there's no way we can lose Saturday. And then you play the Egg Bowl and go dominate that and keep that Egg Bowl trophy home where it's been for a long time.
As Lane Kiffin on the Pat McAfee Show yesterday, I was asked about the reported ultimatum that was given by Ole Miss, and he says, no, absolutely not true. There's still more reporting coming out that's saying that is true. And matter of fact, I think yesterday, Joe, we talked about how a decision they wanted by the Egg Bowl, and I think ESPN has put it out there, they want it this weekend, like Ole Miss does. So, I don't know. You got two conflicting things there, as multiple people have talked about. A lot of this probably depends on, like, hey, what's your definition of the word ultimatum?
Yeah.
So there is that involved with it, too. What do you make of Kiffin, where things stand right now with Ole Miss, Florida, LSU, and him saying, yeah, absolutely not true that there's been an ultimatum given.
Well, and it's just good for Pat McAfee. You know, how does Pat McAfee get all these amazing interviews? Because he doesn't actually ask any questions. Then he plays grab ass for 10 minutes. I mean, he never asks him just about LSU and Florida, you know? It's like, you can save it until the end. Play grab ass first. Make your little funny jokes and then ask a real question. But no, he doesn't ever do that, so it's very frustrating. But good job getting the interview. I mean, at least they did address that. And, I think that Lane is playing semantics here.
Yeah.
Again, it's very interesting, you know, It's going to be very interesting if he's like, nah, I'm just not going to do that. I'm just keep coaching my team. What are you going to do? You know,
well, that's my thing. It's like, what does ultimatum mean? Like, are they really going to fire him if he doesn't come to a decision this weekend? Because I have my doubts on that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, I go back as I see, I'm looking at a text from Matthew Van Jolten, our resident Michigan fan, who says, is Michigan national champion? No. Can we make the playoff? Yeah, you can. Technically, you're not going to. But I think back to Michigan basketball. Bill Frieder was taking the Arizona State job before the NCAA tournament, and Bo Schembechler said, a Michigan man is going to coach Michigan. And that was it. And they, by the way, Steve Fisher won the national championship as an interim coach. Maybe Pete Golding can do that for Ole Miss. I don't know. I mean, I think when you if you put that out there like that, and again, it's put out through media. It's not put out officially. It's not put out in a statement or a press conference. Don't you kind of have to stick to that?
I guess. I don't know. This whole thing is it's wild.
It really is.
You know, it's the, obviously LSU, Florida coming after him. You know, what was there, the report last week that maybe there's a modicum of interest in the NFL out there from Kiffin? Like, if you're the – I mean, the two jobs open right now in the league are the Titans and the Giants. If you're either one of those teams, do you have interest in Lane Kiffin being your head coach? I mean, he's been an NFL head coach before, albeit a long time ago, and albeit for not a very long time
when he was
in the NFL, when he was
11
years old with the Raiders. And one time, I think, tried to have Sebastian Janikowski kick like a 75-yard field goal. Which didn't go well. You know, I mean, that was before he got to Tennessee, so obviously that's a long time ago. And I think we would all agree that he's a, number one, a different coach, and I think has grown up a little bit since then. So, I don't know, like maybe he would be a good NFL coach right now. I'm very fascinated to see where this goes because you can make, to me, Joe, a lot of arguments if you're him to stay exactly where he is right now in today's landscape of college football. I mean, they're a team right now that I think is borderline slam dunk to get in the college football playoff and have a chance to win a national championship. So, I mean, you can go. I mean, your resources will be better at Florida and LSU. Your long-term recruiting probably will be better at Florida and LSU, and you can definitely win national championships there. We've seen it happen. I just wonder, with the timeline being what it is in the coaching world and the transfer portal and all these things right now, the fact that this is like getting squeezed down to right now in the last part of the regular season is, it's wild. It's playing out this way.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, it's obviously like this is not going to be. This will be the most wild one because it's Lane and it's, you know, multiple huge programs and like, you know, like it's not going to be like this often. But the whole calendar is just horrific, you know, for college football. You know, for this to be like this. You know, the fact that you can. You know, again, I feel like they need to, and the problem is they, it's like college football, it's a bunch of factions, a bunch of conferences, they don't have a they, right? You know, they're not unified on things, but like, you got to have some, we talk about, coaches always talk about guardrails, AD's about guardrails with the money for the players, we need some guardrails with like timing on when coaches can leave and things like that. Again, just like the NFL has certain rules, when you can talk to people in the playoffs and all that stuff. The difference, of course, is the NFL, you don't have constant recruiting. You have a free agency period well after that, so that you can, you know, the calendar all makes sense.
Right.
In college football, it makes no sense. None of it. And I don't know the easy answer because you're. I mean, you were also like when players are moving, you get between semesters when you have to do things. But I mean, I think this is a good example for everybody of how broken this is that we would even be in this position. You know, I mean, it just really sucks for Ole Miss. Like, this should be, like, the greatest year for Ole Miss ever, you know, since, like, Archie was there. And Archie didn't win any national championships.
Yeah.
And instead, it's just this mess. So, like, I'm actually, like, I say good for Ole Miss for saying, like, you know what, this is, maybe this can be contractual, like, with some people or something. You know what I mean? You can put in individual coaches' contracts on timing of stuff or what. I don't know. But I'm fascinated to see how it plays out. And I've kind of been like, just stay at Ole Miss, man. You've already proven that you can get a team to this point. We'll see what you would do in the tournament. But you're telling me as a fifth or sixth team that's not a team that could potentially make a run?
I mean, the one loss they've got this year, they were winning basically the whole game on the road at Georgia and screwed it up.
And they've won at Oklahoma already.
Yeah. I mean, they're a good team. So, I mean, look, are they Ohio State? Probably not from a talent standpoint, but they're good. I mean, they've got a chance. I mean, a lot of this, as we found out last year, Joe, also just depends on, like, where does the bracket fall? Like, who are you playing? I mean, Penn State got two wins in the college football playoff last year and then fired their coach halfway through the next year. So, like, a lot of this just depends on how is that bracket going to shake out for you in the college football playoff. So, depending on what their matchup is, they absolutely could make a deep run in the college football playoff.
Right. And, look, I mean, there's obviously – I mean, there's some tremendous coaching that's gone on. I mean, their quarterback is Trinidad, you know, this kid who was at Ferris State last year, and it's like, wow, he's really freaking good. I mean, you have to – maybe that's a little bit of luck, a little bit of – obviously, it's a lot of coaching. Maybe Lane doesn't feel like you can sustain that, but it seems like they – I mean, they've built some pretty consistently good teams. Could you have more at your disposal if you're at Florida or LSU? Sure. I don't know, man. I'm rooting for Ole Miss – I'm rooting for him to, like, stop trolling everybody and stop trying to weasel out of this whole thing. Like, this is a moment of truth for a lot of people. Make a freaking decision. It should be called the LSU governor. The Louisiana governor told some people at a fundraiser, like, I just talked to Lane for 2 hours on the phone. And it's like, really? Is that true? Lane, you spent 2 hours talking with the governor about the LSU job? Like,
Two hours is a long time to be on the phone. Like, what are you guys talking about?
He just probably put the dude on speaker. I had a bunch of buddies over, like, listening to him talk, you know? I tell you, Lane, we can do this, my friend. I don't know. It's just, like, Lane is a great coach. But, like, he needs to just make, you know. I'm glad that they gave him an ultimatum.
Well.
I just don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, what are they going to do when he says, yeah, I'm going to take the Florida job?
I think you're going with an interim coach in the playoff.
I think that's a really bad idea. I do.
I just, man, I.
Not even I mean, coach for, the playoff, huh?
For, yeah, like for
that
all.
That is hardcore.
I understand that, like, now, you know, players move around and stuff like that. But, for, like, for all the players who are underclassmen, you know, who think they're coming back. And plus, like. Like, if you're Ole Miss, like, oh, great. So our top, you know, 10, 12 underclassmen, he's going to just take with him, right? So what they're already talking about, like, what it's going to be like at LSU or at Florida. Hell, no.
Let's go win a national championship.
I don't see how you're going to if that's the decision. I just don't see how you're going to. I think you just got to say, nope, that's a clean break. Thank you. Go recruit. Go recruit for that. And plus, if you're Florida LSU, is there not an ultimatum on their end? Coach the playoff. Hey, buddy, the reason that we're hiring you right now is because you're recruiting players right now. I'm not going to suck next year, right?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Ultimatums all around.
Amazing. The timing just could not be worse on all this.
Right.
Which makes it very fascinating.
Typical for college sports.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get into the Titans coming up next. Cam Ward's production, not very good. What is fair to criticize with him? And what is fair to criticize with this situation? We will get into all that. Paul Kuharsky is with us, and we've got PK with us for the next 2 hours. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.